Hello all. In this episode, we're going to have a battle report from myself and Drew from Southern California from the recent SoCal regional championship that was held in Brea, California. There was a problem. We had another guest on, Grant. However, we lost his audio file. So because of that, I've had to cut out most of our references to him and pare the episode down a little bit. Still totally fine, but we're going to have him on in the future in order to discuss his genius. But if there's a few times where I refer to a Grant, you'll know why. He is not a ghost. He is in fact there, just with technical problems. Thanks so much. Hello and welcome to episode 24 of Zion's Finest. This is Kenny Brown and I have got two very special, awesome brother guests from Southern California.
Hi guys.
That's Drew and Grant there. We are all on the Slack channel together and they are awesome guys. They're both from Southern California and we had a ton of fun at a recent regional that we're going to be talking about. But first off, just a little bit of logistics. We would want to encourage everyone to join us on the Slack channel. Send an email to zionsfinestia@gmail.com. We are still awaiting FFG's announcement of our next wave. We're not getting bitter or anything, but we do think that someone at FFG needs to get their stuff together. But we're still having a ton of fun on the Slack channel. We're always talking about lists. We're still in regional season and we're constantly breaking down what everyone's running. So it's a ton of fun. Also, we would like to encourage everyone to support us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Zion's Finest to give us any support you can. Right now I'm working on getting some all art cards produced for IA. Right now I'm trying to get cards that are in big box expansions so that people do not need to purchase the big boxes in order to get a second set of deployment cards. I'm thinking especially of like Elite Jet. So technically they're not tournament legal, but we've never had a problem with it. And in X-Wing, we've seen it a ton. So I'm going to get some alt art cards commissioned by some really awesome artists in order to get these things out. So we would love to encourage everyone to support us on Patreon and you can get access to that stuff. In addition, there is a new IA podcast. This is the Fully Armed and Operational podcast. The hosts are Jorgen, Nick, and Andrew. We actually met them at the SoCal Regional. These guys are so unbelievably awesome. I will tell you about how great they are later, but man, these guys are awesome. And they're on Podbean and iTunes, so I'm going to include a link for it in the show notes, but listen to them. They are a ton of fun. Finally, VTTV streamed the Toronto Regionals, which happened, I think, last weekend, and the videos are so good. There's a few hiccups. I think they had like a scoring issue. There's a few rule issues that kind of were a little messed up, but the quality of the video is amazing. The commentary is great, and I'm going to include a link for that in the show notes. But right now, let's turn it over to our guest to do an introduction. Let's hear from Drew first.
Hi, guys. My name is Drew. I'm relatively new to the game. I've been playing for only a couple months. Played in a couple store tournaments, really small. First one had like 6 participants. The next one only had 4. And it was my first regional. Don't really play any other FFG games, but we're sort of into gaming. We'll play a lot of the Euro board games, Puerto Rico, things of that nature.
Tell us a little bit about like what kind of list do you like to run?
I run Imperial, Vader Palp. That's mostly because, you know, I just love Vader. Just a Star Wars fan, that's sort of how we got into it. I also play like some Scum Hunters as well, but I always fall back to Vader Palp just because I played it the most. So,
one more time, when did you start playing?
We started playing in November of this year.
So that would have been right after Heart of the Empire came out.
Yes.
That's like a great time.
Heart of the Empire came out, we did not know that it was the last expansion. That's like it had been out, I guess, for a little while. We started playing and then we're like, oh, this is the one that we need to get now.
It's true. It is the one, especially if you're an Imperial player, it's the one you need to get now.
Yeah, because awesome. I was playing with Vader and I didn't know there was a fix in the beginning.
Yeah, that'll change those things up real fast.
Yep.
We also should specify, you guys both live in SoCal and you play a lot together, right?
Yeah, the community's small, but for sure we get a lot of games in against each other.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Cool. All right, well, we are just going to shift right into the episode. What we're going to be talking about today is a SoCal Regional. It was held in Brea, California. Now, just like a quick preface, so I went to school in West LA, and I was down, my family, we were all going to go to Disneyland. Drew, on the Slack channel, tells me that we are having a regional on Saturday, and my family, so I went down a few days early so I could go to this super awesome, boring lawn philosophy conference. And then Drew tells me that they're having this Imperial Assault tournament on Saturday. I'm like, heck, I'll go to that. So I messaged Drew. We got a few games in on Friday, I think.
Yeah, Friday the day before, I got a couple runs against the box.
Yeah, exactly. Played against the box. And then we all went down to the regional. It was tons of fun. There was 12 players. Andrew, who is from the Fully Armed and Operational podcast, he TO'd the tournament. That was very, very, very good of him. But Nick and Jorgen, who are both also on the podcast, showed up, and as we were going to discuss, they did very well. But first off, let's talk about our lists. I was just running the box. I decided to give it one final hoorah to see how it could do. So it was Ahsoka, Lando, Jin, MHD, Hera, Gideon, R2, Mac, C-3PO. That was it. That was the box.
And I had mentioned I was doing Vader Palp. It was standard. You had the two E-Jets, two officers, Zilla. We play a lot of games together to the point where we've played games almost with our command card showing and literally talking it out as to like, okay, like if you do this, this is what I'm thinking about, trying to help each other work on positioning and stuff.
That's so awesome. And I feel like that's part of the reason why you guys have improved so much is like the constant sparring is just the way to do it. So cool. All right. Well, let's get into the tournament. So we've talked about our lists. Round one, it was Mos Eisley Stash Away. So my first opponent was Michael DeSteven. He was running a Vader Palp list. Michael is such a cool guy. And we had a ton of fun in our game. I got off a few lucky shots. I was able to stun Vader on the approach, so he wasn't able to do anything. And I killed Palpatine before he was close enough to get his force lightning shenanigans. And the problem was I had Ahsoka running around the perimeter to threaten anybody who kind of got out of position. So he had to funnel people down. And I just got some lucky shots, was able to get some good stuns and pick off jets before he could really close. So it was a really close game, actually. But just being able to hold him back, I was able to pull out a very close win. And again, I got to say, Michael is such a cool guy. And I would also say he showed up with his girlfriend who was running, she was running Wookiees. I didn't play against her, but she was running Rebels of some kind. And she was also super good. I mean, like, I can see why they're both, for being new, he was a very, very, very good player. And he didn't make any, you know, mistakes that I knew I made a ton. And so I think that a lot of that is just attributable to the fact that they played a lot together. So
yeah, so we got matched up against each other, the one thing we didn't want.
That's
funny. So in our matchup, well, pretty much Grant overextended himself early. He put 3PO out there. I was able to get attempt and force choke pretty much in round one. And so I eliminated 3PO. And that really crushed his spirits from that point forward. Then I just started, you know, without 3PO giving a little extra protection to Han and Jin, it was way easier for me to sort of cut through everyone. Towards the end, he definitely made it closer. I remember Han rolled like 3 dodges on me. So he definitely was able to come back a little bit, but it really came down to like making a big mistake early, and I just capitalized on it.
The problem with Vader Palp is that you make a mistake against that list and it's just so easy to punish with Vader's stupid force choke all the way across the map and Palp tempting, right? And like, it's just, there's so much damage, so much consistent damage coming in like at every range, and it's just such a pain.
Yeah, it's nice being able to get the damage on the approach.
Yeah. Okay, so that was round one. Round two was Jabba, new ownership. I was playing against Nick. So Nick is from the Fully Armed and Operational podcast. Nick is such an incredibly nice, cool guy. I thought it was like a ruse or something. I'm like, no one is this incredibly cool and courteous, but Nick absolutely was. However, he was running ATDP, Riots, and Jets, which is just like the worst thing in the world for the box because it's a ton of health, for one, and I do not do a ton of damage. And the other problem is I would much prefer to see one Vader than 4 Elite Riots, because one is they've got double the health, and even though they're not rolling, you know, like Vader's super tanky, but that's double the health, and they have got, you know, their block tokens, and they're so cheap. When you kill them, you barely get anything out of it. I can't one-shot any of them, and also there's this massive ATDP that's raining fire on me. And so the problem was our game, so I lost this game, and because he was able to get all 3 stashes round one, and I couldn't contest. I was trying to push him off the top one, you know, with some sniper shots, but the problem is now he's got an ATDP in that middle room who is beating the crap out of me, and I just could not pull anything off. I tried to make it somewhat close, but it just ran away from me, and I wasn't able to catch up. But again, Nick is such a cool guy, and I learned a ton playing against it in terms of how I needed to, I knew I needed to take some more risks in order to get rid of his jets and do some damage to that ATDP. I learned a lot. It was a really good game, but it was a loss. So I'm 1-1 at this point.
So for my round two opponent, I played Zach. And Zach's actually a part of the IA group that we play with. We play at the Game Empire in Pasadena. So I actually matched up against Zach in the last tournament. He's running Scum Hunters. It was double Equay, Onar, Vinto, Jabba, 3PO, and Gideon, I believe. Okay. So the last time we matched up, I actually faced him on Nalhutta. And I won pretty easily, actually. He wasn't he wasn't prepared for me force choking all the way across the map. So yeah,
that's true.
This time around, obviously, it's much closer quarters, and I started on the stair side of Jabba's, and I overextended my jets in the beginning, and he was able to eliminate one jet's first round with two focused Equays. So at that point, I was a little upset at myself. So I'm like, all right, I just sort of went full tilt at him. Vader murder killed just about everything. Vader went down in the process, but I took out all his Equays and Onar. What ended up happening, though, so he killed Vader. I remember he played Celebration, but all his offense was gone. He had Vinta left, pretty much. And he also had an Ijawa. And I went to go finish off the Ijawa with my jets. And the first attack, he dodged. And then the second attack, he actually on the lambed because he finally drew on the lamb. That's all he could use it for. And he ended up, that Jawa actually had to drop down in the pit to kill off one of my E-jets that was down there. And that actually put him at 40 points. I was at 30 something, and with pretty much he had no figures left, I was just going to take some objectives and win the game.
Yeah.
But that's what ended up happening there.
Gosh.
Yeah, it was frustrating to be sure. But Zach's a really great guy, and he's been playing. They haven't been playing for a super long time either. I think they've been playing less than a year, the guys that play at Game Empire.
Okay, so at this point, we are each 1-1, right?
Yep.
Okay, so we're each 1-1. So round three is Nalhutta, Raining Freight. This is the box's worst map, but I got my best matchup. I was playing Taylor, who is from Big Bear, and he had the most beautifully painted Scum Hunters I have ever seen in my entire life. But Scum Hunters is, okay, except he did have hired guns. That was my one problem. But besides that, he had, like, Scum Hunters is like what the box was built to kill. Because I take his massive shots and I on the lamb or I miracle worker or something like that. So it was a good matchup for me, but it was on Raining Freight. So we were able, like we were just in it was a race for points. Like I was overexposing my people trying to pick up boxes before his hired guns could get to him, but also trying to pick off these E-jets, or not E-jets, these Equays as they were coming up. But I was able to get off a few good attacks. I had miracle worker. I didn't draw until like the very end, but I got it right when I needed it. And was able to save. I think it was Ahsoka that I saved. And so I was able to pull out the win. I would just say the one thing with Raining Freight is if you're not running a list that has got a lot of expendable objective picker-uppers, it's kind of like playing against Ugnaughts. You have to discard whatever your previous strategy is and just go get boxes. I mean, if you are losing even 6 points a round on boxes, you're going to lose the game. And that is why that was my first win on Raining Freight in the entire regional season because I just kind of threw it away. I was like, I don't care if I lose people. I've got to get these boxes. So, but I was able to pull out a win. And Taylor was there with, I want to say Corinne was his girlfriend, but they were from Big Bear and they were also amazingly cool people. It was a ton of fun. We had a lot of fun chatting.
Yeah, so for my next matchup, I was against Jonathan, who is also amongst the crew that we play with. I was hoping to play some new guys, but it just wasn't happening. And Jonathan was playing Rangers and Jedi Luke. And so going into it, I was like, ooh, this is going to be tough. I really don't have that much experience against Rangers, but I knew that the matchup was going to be bad.
That's a bad matchup.
Yeah, the one time I've played against Rangers was in a 4-player game, so that doesn't really help me learn much about their capabilities. So
Andron reigning for Andron Nelhutta, right?
Yeah, so. Exactly. I was like, oh, this is going to be rough. So on approach, I took some damage from the Rangers. He played Assassinate, so he did get some damage on Vader as I got up there. And then he also Son of Skywalker'd me. So Vader went down like pretty quickly, way quicker than I thought would happen. My Jets got in there, and I was able to eliminate all of his Rangers. However, at this point, my Jets had taken a lot of damage, so I was in full on retreat mode. So I was grabbing crates, like I abandoned everything, and I was just grabbing crates, and pretty much Jedi Luke was just chasing me down. At the end, I end up losing by 1 point. I want to say it was 36 to 35 at time. So he was just trying to, like, all he needed to do was kill off a Jet, and all I needed was get to the next round and get a few more crates. But it was a really, really close matchup, but it was good.
That's awesome. I mean, again, that is such a rough matchup. Because one is Jedi Luke is good against Imperials because he can get through the Zilla with his he's got all the Pierce in the world, and stacking that on top of figures that have got a built-in Pierce, I mean, that's just a bad matchup.
Yeah,
that's good. So at this point, we're 2-1, except Drew is 1-2 going into round four. Okay, so round four is also on Nelhutta, and it is shielded, and my opponent is Alex Nobles. Okay, so Alex, I didn't know this at the time, but I have for years in X-Wing, I have got my tokens from this place called Recreator Studios. These tokens that he produces, I'm going to include a link for it in the show notes, are so awesome. They're beautifully designed. They are precisely engineered. I mean, like, they are just so awesome. Well, it turns out Alex is this guy. He's the guy who runs Recreator Studios. And I knew because they ship from Irvine. I was like, oh, okay. You know, like, I didn't even, like, connect the dots. But as I saw, it was someone else. Oh, Jorgen pulled out his tokens. And I was like, those wooden tokens look exactly like my tokens. And he's like, yeah, that guy made them. And I'm like, oh, that's Recreator, right? And so I'm just going to say, his tokens are amazing. Absolutely amazing. But he's playing Han Rangers, and we're on Shielded on Nelhutta, which I'd actually prefer. I'd prefer to be playing against Rangers with Shielded as opposed to Raining Freight, just because I can at least get something with those shield generators. Our game was unbelievably close, and I got some super lucky breaks. I rolled a dodge with Lando when on my reroll when I needed to. I was able to get on shots that Han couldn't shoot back on, which was big because I just needed to put damage on him. So I was just damaging him, stunning him, so he wasn't going to get his end of round shot. He was able to get a Call of the Vanguard kill on Jin. He one-shotted her, and she was focused. She was, like, getting ready to crush this. I had one in a million in my hand. I was going to one-shot this E-Ranger, but then he plays Call of the Vanguard, which is not an activation, so I couldn't shoot him. And, yeah, it was brutal. But, I mean, like, our game was just close trades, but I was able to just barely eke out a win. Oh, also, round one, with Mac, I intelligence leaked away his Assassinate. And that was, I mean, that was huge. Because Mac intelligence leaks Assassinate, and then MHD heals him. So, I mean, he is down one of his massively good cards, and I am down nothing. And then, you know, that's just kind of how the box works. But our game was still so incredibly close. But I was able to barely beat him. And, yeah, that was it. So
then for my last match, I ended up playing Katsumi that Grant just played. We already discussed his list.
Katsumi's list was a Merc Brawler list. It had regular HKs, Gamorrean Pigs, Maul. We talked about this earlier because he was Grant's previous round opponent, but obviously we lost that audio. Sorry about that. We'll get back to the show.
It was interesting because you don't see regular HKs. And I've honestly never played against elite Gamorreans either. He ended up sending the Gamorreans sort of off on their own to take up some objective points on the side, so they weren't really in the battle. And as a result, I just went through just about everything that he had. It wasn't that close, but for sure, like, he definitely knows what he's doing. You know, he won the store championship, the place that we play at all the time. It's just, for sure, being out of the game for that many months and not really practicing made it a little bit one-sided.
Yeah, especially because there's a huge discrepancy between the brawlers of Vader, E-Jets versus Gamorreans, is one of them has access to Zillow and one of them also has got a three pierce, right?
Yeah.
So at this point, I'm 3-1. You guys are both 2-2. Mm-hmm. So they do. It was only a cut to top four, and I was fourth, I think. I just barely made the cut. I don't know if there was. Was there a 3-1 who didn't make the cut?
Yes, Jonathan.
Oh, that sucks. Because so my loss was to Nick, who was undefeated in Swiss. He beat Jorgen in the last round, and so that was my one loss. But yeah, so I made it into the top four. What did you guys pull out?
I finished seventh, and I think Grant, you got eighth. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. See.
So we got our dice.
Everyone got their dice. That's right. That's right. So my first top four, I'm sorry. So my top four game was on Mos Eisley. It was on Concealed Treasure, and it was against Nick because he was obviously in first place. So he's running his ATDP Troopers. Now, this is a slightly better matchup for me. In fact, this is way better than New Ownership because he doesn't have things he can camp on. He has to pick up boxes and move them back. And what I was able to do is round one, I was able to get Mac and Ahsoka out to pick up crates so I could relieve a little bit of the pressure that he was going to get from picking up boxes and running them back. But that's the problem with this map is if you're going to pick up a box and run it back, whoever you're running back with is out of the fight. So he was getting his riots up to pick up boxes in order to, you know, move back and get points. And at this time, I am just holding the box out and just striking out to try and remove jets. Do damage to the ATDP if I can. So what I did was, so we're pretty equal in trades. I haven't lost, I don't think anybody, I might have lost. So I've lost R2 at this, you know, near the end of the game. So I have not lost a ton of points, but obviously he's been getting points from crates. So I have Jin, she's focused. I've got Tools for the Job and Wild Attack and One in a Million in my hand. I mean, this is near the end of the game, so I'm going to have all these cards. So I send her all the way up, move her 10 spaces in order to perform in order to attack the ATDP, who has not yet moved or is not yet activated. So he activates the ATDP. I play the combo where I do Tools for the Job. So she's focused, so she's rolling three green die. I play Tools for the Job, add a red die. Wild Attack, add a red die to my defense pool and a white die to hit, or attack pool and a white die to his defense pool, and then One in a Million to get rid of his dice, okay? So I'm rolling two reds and three greens. And I actually, at this point, I think the ATDP probably has no damage on it. It might have a little bit. But he plays Brace Yourself, which is an awesome card, and it's super relevant in the current meta. And it's a zero-cost card, and it's when your when your figure is declared the target of an attack and it is outside the activation of the attacker, so like, for instance, Jin's hair trigger shot, you add +2 block to your results. And he's also got the innate one block from the ATDP. Now, I've got Negation in my hand, and I thought about playing it, but I decided to hold on in case he had... I think he was going to get initiative next... Or I was going to get initiative next round, so I wanted to make sure he didn't do that. And also, like, in case he had a positioning advantage. So actually, I was like, I'm going to negate it. Maybe not. And then I, like, put it back in my hand. Like, I was like, I'm not going to do it. I'll just let him have it. And I spoiled that I had Negation, but I don't really care. So she does the shot, and she only does, I think, 8 damage, which was kind of a... That was, I mean, he does have 3 block, so I did 11 damage, but, you know, it's kind of a bummer. But it was enough to, you know, put some heat on him. So he doesn't attack. He clears a stun, doesn't attack on Jin. It doesn't kill her. He goes to positioning advantage, which I negate. And then he has to think about, like, what he's going to do with the ATDP, because we're super close in points at this point. So he's got to think about what he's going to do with the ATDP, because I'm going to have Ahsoka coming up in order, Ahsoka and Lando, in order to put some pressure on him. So he starts moving the ATDP back, and I bomb Ahsoka and Lando in to start removing jets and trying to kill this ATDP. But Nick is so good. He knew exactly what he was doing, and he's just moving the ATDP back. So I'm not going to be able to get to him with Ahsoka. He's moving him back with the officer. So at this point, it is the last round. I am at 26 points, and he is at 28 points. I think he's killed Jin at this point. Okay, so I'm at 26. He's at 28. But I've gotten all of my points, except for 8, from removing figures, whereas he's only gotten 8 points from removing figures. He's just killed R2 and Jin. So I know, after being told, I was like, okay, what's the tiebreaker on this? Because I've got 2 targets. I've got an officer and I've got an E-Jet. The officer I can kill as long as he doesn't dodge. The E-Jet will be very tough to kill. But I move Ahsoka, Hera, and Lando up so that Hera can give damage to whoever I need to in order to get a kill shot. Then I'm told that the tiebreaker is whoever has removed the most figure points. So I send Ahsoka up to kill the officer because that's going to put us at 28 points even. And he is next to somebody, so he's going to get the reroll. So I go up and I attack him. And he rolls block evade. He rerolls it and he rolls blank of or a block evade. And so I one shot him. And that was it. Like, that was the game. It was so close. And it was, man, it was just like to the absolute wire. And we were both super tired, but it was a great, 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 great match. So I then go to the final. I'm playing Jorgen. We were playing on Jabba. We were playing Spoils of Crime. Jorgen's list was Vader. It was Vader Pelp, but no Pelp. He had Taro instead. Now, even though I've been playing Imperial Assault for a little while, for some reason, I have never played against Taro. And I was not aware of the power of Taro. And our game was brutally fast. I mean, I opened the door. Here's the thing with Vader. I've got to get stuns on Vader, and I have got to remove other figures, okay? But the problem is, Taro is able to close so fast and do his flamethrower ability, and I was not aware as to how that worked. I thought it was kind of like Palp's ability. Like, you know, you do damage to somebody and then everyone takes a damage. But it's everybody on, it's like a grenadier, but everyone takes a damage and a weaken. Oh my gosh, it was so good. And so he is very smart about, he opens the door and he just rushes up Vader and Taro. So I'm like, okay, well, I've got to stun both of these guys. So I open the door and Lando takes a shot on Taro, because I just want to stun him so I can hold him down for a little bit. But I should also emphasize, I was very tired at this point. I rolled whatever I rolled, and then I re-rolled away my accuracy because I thought, like, I just totally miscounted, and I was one accuracy short. So I was like, all right, I'll stun you. And Jorgen's like, I think you're an accuracy short. And I was like, what? Did I seriously like re-roll away my accuracy? I felt so bad. It was just dumb. But yeah, like that was just like a story of how our game went. Then he just came in, was dealing a ton of damage, and I just wasn't able to remove people. So I conceded pretty quick and it was over. Jorgen won. But it was a great, great, great tournament. And Jorgen, along with Nick and Andrew, man, those guys are so good and their podcast is gonna be awesome.
Yeah, those guys are really good.
Yeah. I mean, like they're great players, they're friendly. I mean, like, you know, I played against Jorgen and Nick, and so all my games were a ton of fun. So, yeah, they're awesome. I'm going to put a link up for their podcast in the show notes. But I encourage everyone to download, listen to them, give them 5-star reviews. I mean, they're going to produce some great content. Okay, so let's go to our concluding thoughts. Drew, tell us what you think.
So I had a lot of fun. You know, my first, more large tournament, first really competitive tournament. For me, afterwards, we immediately started, you know, playing each other and thinking about the mistakes that we made. I definitely adjusted my command deck, which I constantly adjust it. You know, you mentioned brace yourself. I feel like that's pretty much an auto include with the current meta. You know, you so use good. It, you know, Han, Vader's end around. Call the Vanguard, you could use it then. So, I added that to my command deck. I definitely decided to play actually more aggressive with Vader. A lot of the times I found myself on approach, not knowing when I wanted to fully commit all my units to, like, you know, this is the time to attack. So I've actually, and it's just the way I like to play, you know, Grant knows that, like, I want to get in your face and kill everything. That's just my style.
Well, you've got a good list for it.
Yeah. But at the same time, I've decided, like, you know, we're constantly playing each other. And, you know, I hadn't experienced, like, Rangers before. And there's plenty of, you know, we haven't been playing very long. But for sure, I've started playing a lot of different lists just to get accustomed to seeing, like, truly what some of these figures can do. You know, it's one thing hearing about a figure. It's another seeing it in action. And actually seeing, you know, similar to like Jedi Luke, you know, some people are down on him because of his dice rolls. And you actually have to see what his dice rolls happen to be, like how much damage do you really expect from his attacks? And it's sort of like, you know, when you see it over and over again, it's like, okay, now you have a good idea of what you could do with Luke as opposed to misusing Luke and assuming that you're just going to get off a ton of damage.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a great point, actually. Would you make any changes to your list in terms of, would you sub anybody out?
So after watching Jorgen play, we immediately decided, like, okay, you know, because I actually played with Taro in that list when I didn't have an extra set of E-Jets, you know. Okay. Because, you buy the box and you only get one set of the E-Jets. So we're like, okay, I'll just use Taro for now. And back then, you know, I didn't know what I was doing with Tarot. He'd always just get blasted, like he was a target and everyone blast him. Yeah. I'd never get the flamethrowers off and stuff like that. So after watching, you know, somebody who's really good with Tarot, I'm like, okay, let me try it. And I sort of emulated, like, you know, from what I picked up on watching how he used them, and then I used them against Grant quite a bit. And then I see why he puts Tarot in there, and he even mentioned himself the reason why he subbed Tarot in over Palp, and it had to do with, like, he said that they actually designed their command cards in that list to sort of counter Vader Palp, and then on top of that, obviously the power of the flamethrower and how aggressive he was with it by having both Vader and Tarot in your face. It's like you have to choose which one are you going to really try to take down. And I know he runs like Survival Instinct, so that gives, you know, Tarot quite a bit of survivability on approach.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Tarot for the cost is he has the same health as Palp. I mean, his damage output is actually similar in terms of like what he's going to do with his flamethrower. And he's so mobile, so he can keep up with Vader, whereas opposed to Palp, who really has to be pushed. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Tarot is awesome.
Yes.
And having seen him, I now see, I'm like, okay, Tarot is, he's not someone you have to kill him immediately, like when you see him. You got to bring him down.
And then also, like, you know, seeing Rule by Fear and them explaining the card draw and how, it really is huge. Like, you're just like the box, which I never knew was the amount of card draw you had with the box. You know, you always mentioned pulling off your one in a million combo. And I was always like, well, how are you getting all these cards? Like, what are the odds of you having the cards? But your list is designed to cycle through the cards.
Yeah,
so it's like, you pull that combo off probably all the time.
Yeah, it's like 60-70% of the time I'm going to get the combo off. Yeah, assuming the game goes to round two.
Yeah, so most of the Imperial lists that I create now generally have Rule by Fear in them. I've definitely been experimenting with Riot Troopers. I remember I posted on the Slack channel the Riot Spy list that I was testing out a little bit to see if that works.
That's cool. At this point, Grant gives a summary of his concluding thoughts on his list and any changes he'd make. I wanted to keep our discussion following his comments because it talks about Brett Kelly's Rebel Hero list, and I just feel like there's some interesting thoughts there. That would be awesome. So here's a question, Grant. So this is one thing Brett talked about, and I think this is my thought on his hero list. Don't you think I feel like the problem with Brett's list is that you need certain cards in order to like really get its value out. Either you need On the Lamb, Son of Skywalker, Change of Plans, like you got to get these cards, but you don't have any card draw. I mean, you don't have R2. I mean, you can put Planning and Officer's Training in there, but those are only two cards, right? Like, have you thought about subbing out Jin for, like, R2-D2 or something like that?
Yeah, I suggest that you just take On the Lamb and just throw it out, and maybe Son of Skywalker as well.
Yeah, and get rid of those cards.
And then on top of that, just tear up Jin's card. I have deep hatred for Jin.
High-rolling Jin is like a high-rolling Vinto. It's the worst.
I would pretty much avoid everyone else and just like run past them to make sure that Jin did not get an extra attack on me. Like, I just couldn't stand that extra attack.
Oh, I love it. Gosh, I love it. Jin in the end game is just an absolute fun killer. I mean, she'll bomb in. She'll have some cards that she needs. She'll be focused and she'll just one shot one of your guys who is getting ready to do something awesome. Right. And it's just, it's the worst. Cool. Very cool. Well, that is the SoCal Regional. It was a ton of fun. Everyone there was so very, very awesome. All of my opponents were super cool. I learned a lot. I'm thinking about taking another list, actually, a list that Daniel Taylor made on Vassal I talked about, which was a Han spy list. But I decided to ultimately give the box one more go just to see, you know, I felt like I've played it enough. Well, I've played it a ton, but I've played it enough recently that I know what its weaknesses are, and I wanted to see if I could kind of play around them. But in the face of the Imperial meta, it's just, there's too much health for them to deal with. So it kind of made me realize that I'm just going to put that box kind of on a shelf for a little while in terms of, it's going to be really good if Scum Hunters come back in terms of like being super dominant, hyper dominant like they were. But until then, it's just not good enough. It's such a bad matchup against Empire, especially on camping maps like Shielded and New Ownership. So it was an awesome tournament. Again, everybody was so great, but it was the cause for the box's retirement. So now at this point, I mean, as we're approaching Worlds, we've got a month and a half. We're going to do an episode on this a little bit later, but I've got newer lists that I'm working on. I've got a few boxes like that all involve Han pretty much. A few boxes that I'm working on, but I'm also thinking about running like a Rangers, Kotoon, Ahsoka list. Even though, like, obviously Ahsoka's not as good in block quotes as Han is, but, you know, she's Ahsoka and she's awesome. So, I'm just working with some things to see what could work in the future, but it was a great, awesome tournament. Speaking of which, we should get everybody playing on Vassal, right? Like, that's an awesome way to play against people who are not in your local meta. I mean, obviously, you and Grant can play against each other all the time and have a ton of fun, but it's also really great to play against, you know, us. So
plus, I want to get revenge on the box because
that's right.
I faced the box twice, I think, when we were playing. I mean, I faced your modified box the first time with Murn in it, and I had no idea what Murn could do. Not that he necessarily like did a lot, but you know. And then I remember like the first match we played, I did all right, I thought, but I didn't get the win, so I want to destroy the box.
That's right. You will, Drew. You will destroy the box. Cool. Well, we want to thank Grant and Drew for coming on, giving this awesome report. We want to thank everybody who showed up to the SoCal Regional. That was a ton of fun. The store was The Realm, right? Game and Comics.
Yep.
In Brea. So we want to thank them for hosting us, and we want to thank everyone for downloading. Again, if you would like to join us on the Slack channel, send an email to zionsfinestia@gmail.com. And if you can support us on Patreon, we'd love any support we can get. Go to patreon.com/zionsfinest. Grant, Drew, you have anything else for us?
Nope.
Perfect. All right, we'll do it. Thank you, guys. Everyone have a good day.
Thanks.